8 o'clock hour, hump day edition.
Hump day?
Not even the middle of your week because you don't have to work on Friday as RJ Choppy promises a July 4th outfit you'll never forget tomorrow on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Ralph. We got our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. And you, thankfully, on the Franco & Franco Injury Attorney text line on the radio. And if you're listening on the Odyssey app. The disturbing Dallas Mavericks insight that RJ Choppy is going to get to here in just a second. But in case you missed it yesterday, the big news was that Miles Turner wasn't necessarily the big news himself. It's all the rest of the dominoes that set off. Bedford's very own signs with the Milwaukee Bucks. In order to make that money work, the Bucks cut Damian Lillard and his $113 million remaining contract. It's the biggest contract in terms of waiving a player in the history of the league. Ooh. They'll have $20 million on their books for the next 5 years. Giannis is apparently not pleased with that decision, according to Chris Haynes. And Giannis was sending out a bunch of different tweets and everything, basically saying, what's going on? What world am I living in? We also have the Mavericks expected to extend Jason Kidd's contract before the start of next season, according to Mark Stein. That Knicks flirtation makes even more sense, at least to me now. It was about Jason Kidd getting more money and another deal. As for the future of Giannis and Dame, Bet Online in Vegas sent me the odds. The favorite now to go and get a possibly unhappy Giannis is
San Antonio.
It is the San Antonio Spurs at 9-4, followed by the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks. You got the Brooklyn Nets at 11-2, Toronto at 9-1. Dan Patrick was speculating that all this Laker stuff and the decision about LeBron and, you know, this is now Luka's team was really about Giannis. That's what he was speculating. So I said, okay, LeBron, put your money where your mouth is. You want to win championships, go to the East, and just flip the Giannis salary along with yours, throw in a little Austin Reeves, make things work, and leave Los Angeles. Go ahead. Throw Bronny in too if you want. So I was like, go ahead, have some fun with that. But San Antonio, will they make a move based upon Giannis's mood? And then Dame's next team, we all know he really wanted to end up in Miami before he got traded to Milwaukee. The Heat are the favorite at 4-1, followed by Denver, Portland, the Lakers at 7-1. Dame Lillard will be 36 at the start of the 26-27 season while coming off the Achilles tear, and now he can choose his next squad.
Hurt and old. Sounds like a value bet on the Mavericks. Sounds like somebody Nico would target. So
a defense wins championships, man.
So that's what happened in the association. By the way, Brian Windhorst on ESPN said that Rick Carlisle and others should be furious.
They have not been willing to pay the luxury tax for 20 years, and they were determined for the first time to pay the luxury tax a little bit, to go into the luxury tax a little bit to keep Miles Turner, who's been their franchise center for the last decade. And now, they frankly, this price for Miles Turner isn't outrageous. You know, the Pacers backing away from this. This is a devastating. Like, I don't. If I'm an Indiana Pacer right now, I'm absolutely disgusted. I am sick to my stomach. If I'm Tyrese Halliburton, I am breaking things right now. If I'm Rick Carlisle, I'm furious at just what's happened because they were unwilling to spend a little bit of luxury tax money to hold this team in place for a year when Halliburton came back to go to a team that they hate. They hate the Bucks. So it's going to take a while to digest this. And if Giannis tweets later today a big smiling emoji and indicates that he is happy as a clam, the Bucks can declare a win. But I'm not sure the balance of power was changed in the Eastern Conference, even though this has been a stunning turn of events.
And Giannis did not tweet the smiling clam face.
But there's no way they make this move and then just turn around and trade. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't make this move to trade Giannis, I guess, unless he didn't sign off on it. But all the indications were that he wanted them to get Miles. I just don't think he expected them to cut Dame.
Right.
Which, by the way,
well, how would you not have that conversation with him?
Right. Yeah. Although Dame wasn't going to play next year anyway, right? I mean, I guess they could theoretically.
Well, there's, I guess it's kind of a Kyrie question.
Yeah.
Sam No, let me see exactly who it was. Someone reported that Dame was getting a lot of calls, and there's a thought. Here it is. Mark Spears, Chris Arnold's buddy. There's speculation that Dame could be back around the All-Star break, and there are double-digit teams calling him interested in signing him. Now, that may be a favor he's doing to Dame and his agent, but that's him saying he could be back around the All-Star break.
Look, I mean, here's the thing with Indy. The Celtics just gave the blueprint. Like, when you get a guy that's gone for the year, reset. You got to get under the tax. Now, Indy never goes in the tax anyway, but you got to get, you know, you're reset. The year's over. The year's done. They got to game seven. Life comes at you fast, but Indy went from game seven of the NBA finals to the lottery in about 4 days.
The NBA.
And the Celtics did it in a year. The championship to the lottery in a year.
Yeah, because like they're both going to be, I mean, they're a play-in series team now.
People are calling the Jason Tatum injury, Bontemp said this, the most significant injury arguably in the history of the NBA. Because of the teams, it's wiping out the blow-up in Boston and then all the other moves of the shuffling. Desmond Bane, Orlando, all that stuff.
I mean, look, Timothy Bontemps just showed he has no idea who Bill Walton is. Because that's the most significant injury. But I get it.
If you're talking about reverberations outside of just there, the only other one that immediately comes to mind is Kawhi. When Kawhi got hurt in San Antonio, and then San Antonio mismanaged the injury and everything, and like that turned into just a wild 2 years of where's Kawhi going to go? That kind of did that. But this all just drives home a point to me again. When we're talking about the financials and everything else, one of the NBA's biggest problems. Like, the NBA's already got a product problem. They've got a branding problem. And the other problem they have right now is, like, this second apron crap and everything else that goes along with it, the NBA is by far the most difficult sport for teams to navigate financially. Out of all the others, in terms of just to be able to make stuff work or to be able to manipulate something and free up cash and do this or that. And it makes it tough to feel like if you're in a financial spot, like a tough financial spot, it's like, there's nothing I can do to get free. We're just going to be bad. And there's nothing we can do for a while to get out of this. And that's what's
frustrating. But the second apron, I think they would argue, is working in preventing super teams.
It is.
It just stops Steve Ballmer from buying everyone. Right.
What the NBA is going to find out, they're going to find this out in real time, whether people like super teams or don't. Because the TV, you're basically going to have a new team every year, a new champion every year. And, you know, while baseball doesn't have a salary, I can't remember who I heard say this. I thought it was a good point. The baseball luxury tax is more restrictive for salaries than the NFL salary cap, which doesn't even seem like it exists at the time. But the NBA one, I mean, this doesn't restrict salaries. It just restricts teams.
All right, let's go inside the Mavs organization with this interview that was done.
Okay, so I didn't know much about this guy, but he is known as the Machine. All right, his name is Mike Marshall.
George Michael?
Not George Michael.
Be your father figures.
Good reference.
Sports Machine.
Not that George Michael either.
Rats.
Bobby. But he was the vice president of content for the Dallas Mavericks for, you know, the last several years, like dating back into the Cuban era and well beyond, like we're talking 15 years here. And he was on a podcast. He was on a Dumb Zone podcast, and he was talking about the Adelson Group and when they bought it. And that they really didn't know what they were getting into. And this was super scary to me. Because in one of the things he said, first red flag in the first 6 months was that nobody got playoff bonuses. Which, in the sports world, that's pretty commonplace.
Just like you, when you worked there.
When I worked there, I didn't, because I left at the start of the playoffs. So I worked all, I did all that legwork, and then I just gave it over. I said, Mike Peasley, it's all yours. Okay. It's all yours, baby. And I'm going to leave the network and I'm going to work with this guy named Sean.
Did Peasley get a ring?
I don't know if he got a ring or not.
Tell him that ring's yours.
It should be mine. Right. But I think they actually gave watches out to the broadcast team.
Okay.
I think Coop got a watch and Brad Davis, they got a watch. I'm not positive on that, but you know, to not get playoff bonuses. And he's like, we worked 2.5 extra months. It's commonplace. You're basically, you know, your contracts are or whatever. Like, this is the time you work. You work from season start to season end, regular season. And then anything beyond that, you get a playoff share. You get a bonus. They didn't get playoff bonuses. Why didn't they get playoff bonuses? Well, because of the Mavericks situation with Bally, they wound up losing money that year because of the Bally issue.
And they did not anticipate it.
And they didn't anticipate it. So they
wound up... Something that should have been, according to this guy, obvious.
It should have been obvious, but they didn't know what they were getting into. They didn't know sports. And this is a bigger discussion because, like, and this is where sport, because back in the, when the Mara family bought the Giants for like $500, it was just a, it was like, hey, let's just start a league. When Jerry bought the Cowboys for $110 million, or Steinbrenner bought the Yankees for $10 million, or when Jerry Buss bought the Lakers and the Kings and the Forum for $65 million, it wasn't the money. It wasn't like this. So it really kind of showed me. There's a handful of groups as an owner that you're in. You're the rich guy looking for the hobby. That's like Steve Cohen with the Mets. You don't really care what team it is. You just want something to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This is a hit-and-miss owner. They're going to spend, but they also might meddle. You could be a super fan that got rich. This is Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
Right? This is the Mark Cuban type owner. The only issue is they might meddle, but super fans generally want what's best for the team. Like, it's good. That's generally you want that. There's the rich guy reliving the glory years. This is Jerry. He's trying to prove to the world that he's a football guy.
Yep.
You've got your rich guy that's super competitive, that's trying to fill that void. That's Steve Ballmer. That's George Steinbrenner. They generally spare no expense. They can be meddlesome because they're so competitive. Dave Tepper is the worst kind of that. And then you have what I fear the Adelson Dumonts are, and that is the investment owner.
Mm.
This is the private equity, Bain Capital crap. They're trying to buy this to secure other avenues to make money and expand their empire, hence the casino at old Texas Stadium. This is a private equity firm.
And it's always the worst when it's the super fan who made that swap. When the super fan went ahead and just said, okay, I'll let them come in and do it, and, yep, and didn't vet it enough.
And DeMont declined to be interviewed after Cooper Flagg was introduced. Cuban spoke for like 10 minutes. So that's just something to add in there.
Yeah, it's like, man, this is awful. Like, first of all, the leagues need to mandate if they're going to give playoff shares, give the playoff shares, right? I know they do it for the players. You got 50 employees basically working for 2 months extra for free, essentially.
So if they don't extend, like here, when we go without contracts, we're getting paid, aka the nosebleeds rule. You get paid what your previous contract was. You're still getting paid, even though you're out of contract.
Right.
You think that they didn't get any compensation?
They might have gotten
off of what their regular contract or salary was.
They probably got their regular contract. But I guess the commonplace is that you get a little bit of a bonus because, you know, the owners have to share revenue with the players during the regular season. The playoffs, they don't do that.
And this was during what year? This past one?
It was, yeah, when they went to the finals.
Oh, when they went to the finals.
So they worked, you know, from... Yeah. Second week of April.
Playing. Yeah.
No,
they ain't getting no playing bonus.
They work second week of April to mid June.
It's insane how quickly this has become nightmarish. Whereas, like a year ago, everybody's like, all this influx of cash. We got Nico's been great. Every move has worked out. We got these stars, and it's just flipped in a year.
And one thing that happens with you know, sports ownership is like, if you understand how it works, like, you don't make money necessarily. Now, you can make money year to year, but like, you don't. You make money when you sell the team. If you want to run this like a private equity firm, you're going to find out real quick. It's very difficult to manage the sports landscape.
It's a hump day edition of Sean and RJ. 820 means the random Wednesday wheel spin.
Come on.
What do we got?
It's going to be Sean's favorite. We got life hacks.
Yes, sir, baby. Yes, sir.
AKA the segment that Peyton Russell gets canceled. Life hacks. Next on 105.3 The Fan. 11 a.m. press conference today to introduce yet again the Dallas Stars Pete DeBoer replacement. Glenn Gullitson made official yesterday by the Stars organization. 11 a.m. presser today. Sean Shapiro actually said he wanted Gullitson to be hired a few weeks ago. He's always on the Spits and Suds hockey podcast. Here's a little bit of his perspective. Personally, I like the hire. And while the Stars don't care what I think, I call for Dallas to hire him in the aftermath of the Game 5 postgame. For me, Gullitson's work with the Oilers is more important than what he did in Dallas or even with Calgary as a head coach. I asked the Oilers coach about Gullitson during the Western Conference Final. Chris Knobloch said, quote, "When he got here, it was a last place power play. And those two were on the power play. So yes, expectations is it should be good with Draisaitl and McDavid. But I think with the things that he's implemented and gives them with good guidelines, structure, the power play to work, and knows when there's times to give them more information, not information, doesn't overcoach it, I think he's got really good grasp on that, and I don't think he gets enough credit for it. Because often, when you think about the players we have, there's just an expectation we'd have a great power play. It just wasn't always a great one before he got here. So there's a lot of credit that should be given to him." So Shapiro also spoke to players in Edmonton who looked at Gullitson as more of an associate than assistant head coach when it came to hierarchy. Had a really strong relationship with the top Oiler players, McDavid chief amongst them, which is pretty important in more of a player-driven NHL. So that is Sean Shapiro, who wanted this hire right after Game 5.
And that's great news about McDavid, because whenever he gets bitter, whenever he gets unhappy, Glenn Gullitson will be waiting for him right here in Dallas.
Spittle also honed in on the retread label, and he said, "Let me apply that same logic to Paul Maurice." Sorry, two-time Stanley Cup champion, Paul Maurice. Hartford, which became Carolina, to the Toronto Maple Leafs, then back to Carolina, then to Winnipeg, finally to Florida. Didn't even mention all the AHL stops in between. Now, would you call Paul Maurice one of the best coaches in the NHL, or is he a retread? So there's Gavin Spittle with his thoughts on the hire.
And look, I mean, Paul was, I mean, he's been around for a long time. Like, we're talking about that in the 90s when you mentioned Hartford. He had some success in the play, you know, like he went to the Stanley Cup final before, but he had a lot of years where, I mean, his team's missed the playoffs, like, all together. Like, when he was at Carolina, I think they missed the playoffs like 3 of the 4 years. Much more success in Winnipeg, and then obviously a ton of success with Florida. So he's been around, no doubt. The Gullitson hire, it was a weird, when I first heard the name, it was like the one word that kind of kept getting thrown at me was, it's a weird hire. Doesn't mean it's a bad hire. It was just a weird hire. Like, just such a ready-made team to go from Pete DeBoer to Glenn Gullitson. Doesn't mean it's going to not work. I mean, we've seen other coaches or other teams, when they went from Parcells to Wade, it worked. Like, Wade worked for the first year. You know, they had a better year in 07 than they had at any time during Parcells' tenure.
There are so many just Schottenheimer parallels. I can't get away
from it. There's a lot of them.
Can't get away from it. Longtime guys in the league, likable personalities, and maybe more of the change is for the culture. Mm-hmm. All those things are reminding me of Brian Schottenheimer taking over for Mike.
And a huge upgrade in hair game.
Yeah, both of those in both departments. Both of those.
Massive. Glenn's got
Brian's hair can't touch Glenn's.
Oh, no. Glenn's hair is fantastic.
Yeah. No, Brian's hair back in the day. He's like 10 years older,
he can wear a visor still.
That's why he wears it, though, he said.
A lot of guys can't wear a visor. Pete DeBoer can't wear a visor.
That's true. He cannot.
It'd be amazing if a hockey coach wore a visor.
Great.
With a suit right there on the sideline. The Random Wednesday Wheel Spin landed on this.
Warning, the following life hacks are unethical and should not be performed. Sean and RJ do not condone these life hacks. Unethical life hacks may cause financial savings, make you cooler, more popular, increase sexual encounters, and provide an overall improvement in well-being at the expense of others. Please report any and all positive experiences testing unethical life hacks to 877-881-1053. Take it away, Bobby B.
Thank you, Chris Arnold. It is time for life hacks, unethical life hacks. These are unethical. We don't tell you to do them. It's more about here's just some knowledge for you.
Make you aware of them.
We're dropping knowledge just so that you know, hey, don't do this because this is bad. That's what we're saying. But if you do it, like, tell us how it went. And if you think there's any holes in them, go ahead, poke holes in them. Say, nope, that wouldn't work because of this. And if you've got any unethical life hacks of your own, you can text them in right now on the fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Let's lead it off with this. This is something that's been relevant to you recently, and I could steal it myself, I guess, even though I'm not going to have done it. If you're a man who is pulled over for speeding, tell the cop you're running late for your vasectomy. Cops usually feel bad for you, and they'll let you off with a warning.
That doesn't just sound like a statement that someone would easily buy and not laugh at, you know?
I think if you were like, officer, I'm sorry, I was late, I've just been frazzled, I'm about to go get a vasectomy done, I don't want to do it, but like, so I'm sorry, I wasn't aware and I was kind of pressing time, but I think you'd be like, all right, fine, just watch your speed.
I've honestly, I try to get out of everything, I try to lie my way through just about all of life. I've really never tried to get out of a ticket.
You've like, dropped your name, radio station stuff.
They said, where are you headed? I say,
I'm tried that at the Coliseum. I'm Marja Chopp and Google me.
I said, Google. Yeah. That was Kurt Cignetti. They said, ask where are you going? And I tell them where I work. Right? I've said, I'm going to the radio. I'm going to work.
Right.
And they said, well, where do you work? Yeah. Radio station. But I just feel like they're never going to let you out. I don't even bother. They're not going to buy any lie. It's so cool. We got pulled over on the way to Houston, the Super Bowl. I was like, okay, thank you. Sorry. Apologize, sir.
Yeah.
They never let you out.
So we all know, and we're doing unethical life hacks here on 105 through the Fan. We all know how great Christmas time is when, you know, Santa stops by, brings the kids their gifts. Kids wake up in the morning and there are all the presents there that Santa has laid out before you. Well, if you're a parent and you want to just communicate an idea to your kid, what you need to do, according to this life hack, is they say, wake up before your kids, before they see what Santa's brought, and just go hide them and leave coal for them. And then when your kid is upset, you go, sorry, Santa mixed it up. I'll go straighten it out. And then you bring out the real presents that Santa had, and they go, look, I had to vouch for you. He thought you had been bad. I vouched for you. You were good. And that then you use it throughout the course of the next year and just say, hey, remember, if you need me to vouch for Santa, I'm not going to do it this year. You win that way.
Yeah, that's a lot of work versus just saying, I'm going to tell Santa you were bad beforehand.
But you get, like, I think a lot of kids go, like, that's an empty threat. Like, you know the big guy, I don't trust you.
People are using jet streams now and saying, you see that?
Oh, like the little condensation trails or whatever?
The chemtrail folk?
You see Kendall Jenner's private plane up there? That's a Santa trail.
That's Santa trail.
Yeah, so they're using that, but... picking up, no one wants coal, okay? Like, dealing with charcoal is one of the biggest pain in the asses in all of life. I do everything I can not to touch.
Gas guy over here.
Not to touch charcoal. What'd you say?
Gas guy over here, propane.
Big green egg charcoal. I'm not getting coal and having that anywhere near my house.
Besides, good luck beating your kids to being awake on Christmas Day.
I love this from 325.
That's an age discussion. My boy right now, 5, he's not beating me awake.
He's not.
No. I think it's got to get to an age. Well, my daughter wakes us up every day at 5.
Fair. There you go.
Or like 7. But if I let him sleep in, he's sleeping until past 7. When do the kids beat you waking up versus your old person clock that's natural during Christmas? When's your kid waking up before you? Because when do your kids sleep in now?
Julian still wakes up early. He's 7, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Because the other day he texted you at 9:30. I know. 10, saying, where are you?
Where are you? Luca, boy, Luca's up at 12, 1 o'clock. He sleeps all day.
Going to sleep when?
He goes, I mean,
is
I
it like
guess
3 a.m.?
Sometimes he's up playing. We got a Siege 6 tournament tonight.
What's that?
I don't know. Some stupid game they play. Siege 6, man.
817, that lie is disgusting, Bobby. That's a SE life hack. Well, thank you for the teeing it back up here. This is unethical life hacks. Welcome to the show, number 817 over there. All right, next one. I like this one from 325. If you know you're going to speed, just turn on your caution lights, and if they pull you over, tell them you're running to the ER to meet your wife.
Yeah, that's a. I think that would work. I would feel like I needed to show my note afterwards when you go to the doctor's office. You need a work note. I feel like they'd follow up with, all right, I'm going to need you to prove that.
Yeah.
You know, not that they're going to follow you afterwards, but I don't know. That one would be a little edgy for me to deal with, but I do think it would get you out.
Have cops ever, like, I wonder this, if, like, they think you're lying, then instead of just, like, trying, you know, interrogate you, basically, they, like, say, okay, I'll just follow you then. Do cops do that? Or
they do,
like,
the escort.
You know?
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can do that.
Out of your jurisdiction.
That would blow up on you.
And it's that's like a George Costanza. Like, he'd walk in the hospital.
Oh, you got to commit to the bit.
You got to commit.
If you need a doctor to take you seriously, make up a risk factor. They say doctors go on probability. So if you don't feel like they're taking seriously whatever you think it is, you start making up risk factors related to it, and doctors will start going, okay, all right, they have a family member who has that. All right, fine, I'll run this down a little bit.
My mother-in-law, I don't know what type of insurance she has, and I don't know what type of doctors she has, but I need that insurance plan because she's getting her doctors to do and give whatever she wants, and I don't know what premium she's paying because she's there once a week. She loves it. Loves the doctor.
This would be something for Kristen. Kristen always feels like doctors aren't taking me seriously. They're not listening to what I say. It's like, all right, yeah, make up a risk factor. Say my mom had this.
Yeah.
And then they'll...
Is it running your family?
They'll take a closer look at it. All right, I don't know if this is...
By the way, can I fix one thing about the doctor's offices?
Please.
Do I have to give you the same information...
Every time.
Four times. Four times in the same visit. The first introductory nurse, and then the second nurse,
and then
the third person, and then the doctor. Mm-hmm. And I'm retelling the story. It's like it's like calling a hotline for your TV service.
So you're not talking about the forums.
No.
You're talking about, like,
telling
when they
the
ask
story.
You what's wrong. Yeah.
Telling the same story over and over and over and over again, four times over. Like, Children's Medical, I love y'all. I think you do a fantastic job, but just retelling it 15 times, it's exhausting.
It is. All right. This is Unethical Life Hacks.
Children's Medical, ER.
Do you hate your neighbor? You have before. No. You hated your neighbor
I don't
before.
Hate my neighbor.
No, before, not now.
Oh, yeah.
In the past.
Yeah, I got him in trouble.
Call the gas company to set up an account at their address, then cancel it the next week. So I guess this would only work at houses that have gas. So this is what somebody said. They said, the people who moved into the building in front of us accidentally did this, set up a gas account at our address, and then they canceled it when they realized they'd set it up improperly. Well, the gas company doesn't see that. Because they canceled the account, the gas company just shut off their gas. And it became like this big pain for them over the next day where they're like, we honestly contemplated doing it back to them. Like, just because we were so annoyed with how it screwed things up.
Oh, my gosh.
But if you cancel it, then it'll cancel their gas completely.
You know, we got a good neighborhood now. Now, we got some changes. The cat dude moving.
Frozen
cat guy moving to be closer. Him and his wife moving to be closer to their daughter.
Whatever happened to suicide guy?
One other stuff to talk about. He's still with us.
I mean, he told the story on air.
Oh, good.
Oh! Different story.
Your front yard.
Different guy.
Oh,
yeah. Different guy. I don't know. I don't know if he's still there or not. I have no idea. I think the house is for sale. I think, but I don't know.
Last one. You got to tell me if this is accurate, Chop, because I have no idea. While playing a table game at a casino, secretly pocket some of your own chips so that when you color out the pit boss
Whoa!
Marks you down as losing more money than you actually did, and spending more money gets you more comps.
Okay, so they, no, I don't.
I don't know if it would work. I don't think,
because every time they mark it, it's about what your buy-in is. It's new cash on the table. I've not seen it where they look at your losses after. It's new cash on the table.
I think what you can do is, because sometimes when I put the player card down, they put down like what my first amount is, like if it's blackjack. So if you go in for your first hand and you put 50 and the table minimum is 15, they'll mark you down as, okay, average play hand is 50. I think that's the life hack.
Right. I don't think it's at the end.
Unethical Life Hacks with the Random Wednesday Wheel Spin Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ. The most important players for the Dallas Cowboys this season. Next, in B-Low,
the Belt,
105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Who could you stand to lose and who just can't live without for the Dallas Cowboys in 2025? Let's talk about it in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. John Machota yesterday over at The Athletic was, as Choppy and I were talking about this last week while you're at, this is, what would you say, is it mid-June or maybe like June 20th until July 25th or something like that, 5 weeks, is like its peak list season. Yep. You come up with some lists. Every outlet right now is doing the top 10 of this.
Where's the Jeremy Fowler or Athletic quarterback stuff?
So that is typically into July. So we'll get, in the next few weeks, we'll get that. We're going to get the ESPN, like you were talking, we'll get the tiered list from Mike Sando for quarterbacks. from The Athletic. We'll get the ESPN top 10 at every position from talking to GMs and execs and everything.
Brackets.
And we'll get this awful NFL top 100 list that has been absolutely destroyed this year and upset me. This isn't good news. So I actually had talked with you about this yesterday, Sean. The NFL is doing their top 100 players like they always do. And typically it was like, all right.
Voted on by the players.
Yep. Typically you'll go, all right, on Thursday we have the top 10 here. And then the next Thursday, or it's 100 to 91. Next Thursday, it's 90 to 81. And it's cool. We could see, all right, here's 10 new players dropped on us. And we'd see these video clips. If a Cowboy's in there, if here's all these players around the league talking about them, it's always been good offseason content. The NFL has decided they don't care. And they want to destroy that content. Because this year, they are releasing the list two players at a time every weekday leading up to September 1st. When they will then drop the top 10.
So two a day.
They're going to give you 199 on Monday, 98 to 97 on Tuesday, 96 to 95. And it's going to just like be this slow leak without, like, I don't think there's any episodes tied to this of a hunt like the way they did in previous years.
But isn't that basically still 10 a week?
No, but it's the whole thing is there's not the TV show to go with it anymore. There's the one, the top 10 show is going to come out.
Only the top 10?
They're only doing the top 10 show. That and sucks. It's just the... It's like you're sitting on something. So if we're doing prep and we look in and go, all right, we know who this is, and they're like, we're just waiting and waiting, instead of just getting the list and being able to react to all of it at once. But the first four players named on this list, Ladd McConkey, number 100, the receiver from the Chargers, Leonard Williams, the defensive lineman from the Seahawks, Aaron Jones, missed opportunity for the Cowboys, the running back with the Vikings, and then Drake London, the Falcons wide receiver, were listed on that. But we are in list season, and John Machota had a good one yesterday, I thought, over at The Athletic. Which is the most important players for the Cowboys in 2025. And there were some players on it that I didn't instantly think would register. But we're up here on this list. So these are the top 10. Number 10, Kenneth Murray Jr., the linebacker from Oklahoma. The bane of Sean's existence in high-low, where he didn't know Kenneth Murray.
That's right.
But this is Kenneth Murray. He says this technically could be Murray, Marist Liufau, or Jack Sanborn. So this is just kind of representative of any linebacker that needs to step up and do something.
Yeah,
for
they
the
want
Cowboys.
Me like on in Chicago today to talk about Jack Sanborn. Whoa. And I was like, no, I can't. I
no.
Give me something to say about Jack Sanborn, Bobby.
He's number 57.
That's it? You've been practice.
No, we did. There was one practice he had where he was really bad in coverage. Like, otherwise, he's just kind of blended in.
Yeah.
He had one practice when they were indoors during mini camp where Ferguson worked him consistently. He did not look like he was very strong in coverage
at all. Got a huge neck. Big-time neck. Massive neck.
Don't you want that in your linebackers? I feel like linebackers, you want big necks.
Man, Van Der Esch had a big neck.
And he was good for a period.
Had a broke neck.
Yeah,
he was.
Exactly. Number 9 on this list, most important Cowboys from John Machota, Kaiir Elam. And again, this is interesting the way that he's cutting at this. So he doesn't have...
What's the label?
It's the most important players for the Cowboys in 2025.
Okay.
So he's got Elam on here, which I think is interesting because the way that he looks at it is, you know, you know Bland. When Diggs gets back, Diggs will start. So it's more just like... The veteran who's brought in here to seize the role, can he seize the role? So that you're not having to go to Carson or one of these other unknowns. I can see the argument for it. I think Diggs being good is more important to them this year than whatever Elam gives them.
Elam's certainly on a preseason hype team. I know that.
Dude, he's made plays. I don't know if it'll stick, but he's made plays. It'll be interesting once Pat's... Don't hit the bell again.
Jeez,
damn it.
Bobby.
It'll be fascinating. This is just turns into the synonym game. It'll be fascinating to see if... He can keep that up once pads go on. He'll be one of the ones that I'll watch once they have pads. Number 8, and arguably I think you could have hired Terrence Steele. He says Dallas's offensive line continues to go through notable changes. With Zach Martin retiring, Steele is the veteran leader of the group. He needs to play well as the Cowboys will be working with a rookie next to him in first-round pick, Tyler Booker. And I do think he's going to have a bounce-back season. Is there any confidence level from either of you that he can gather himself back up? Or are you just like, he probably is what he is at this point?
No, I have a confidence level, mainly because of your Terrence Steele homerism, that he can bounce back. I'm not totally just mailing it in on Terrence.
I was once the biggest Terrence Steele hater in Dallas. It was like Walchuk talking about Dak. I thought he was a complete turnstile. Never thought he'd turn into a stable pro, and he did.
Walchuk went back at you yesterday on G-Bag.
I don't know. I didn't hear it like most of the Metroplex. So.
Well, you sent us the clip. So Zach, he was listening.
Why are you just destroying my joke?
And Well, because G-Bag's been...
I didn't hear it, though. I had to have somebody call me.
G-Bag's been killing the numbers, so I got to give them their praise.
I got the phone call from
New Orleans.
Marketing director Cody, who's like, did you enjoy that shot? He was like, what shot? I was like, it was just happening.
I thought it was Broadus when he called out. He was listening.
No, he was too busy to call yesterday.
I do think Steele probably should be higher than 8. He's more important than that.
Is it?
Yeah, because like he's such a swing player. Like, mm-hmm. If he is really, really good, how much better does that make the line? If he's really, really bad, you know.
If you could pick one of them has to stay the way they played last year, and the other you get twice of what they were last year, would you pick Steele or Guyton to be better?
Guyton.
Okay, I think I could live
with... twice as good?
I think if I get Steele back to what he was, like twice as good as he was last year, I think you're able to do a lot in the run game. And soften things up for what you want to do attacking.
Give me
the air.
A lockdown. Give me my lockdown left tackle.
Lockdown left. You're telling me if he becomes like prime Lane Johnson. Well, okay.
Number 7 on this list. Most important Cowboys in 2025, according to John Machado. Mazi Smith, defensive tackle. This I understand just from the perspective of no one else is doing his job right now. He's the only one technically.
He doesn't even do his job.
Well, yeah, there's just that.
I think John needs to relable this. I don't know about the way he's categorizing these players.
Number 6, George Pickens. He says up to this point, Pickens has appeared to be completely bought in on having a big year in Dallas. The Cowboys needed to improve their passing game and did so in a big way by trading with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now we get to the top 5. Just ahead of him, CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver. Says Lamb remains the clear number one receiving threat in Dallas. As long as he's healthy, he should have another big year. I would put Lamb 3rd. To me, like I'm glad they got Pickens. I still have no faith that they're moving the ball at all if CeeDee goes out. Like it would look like the Rangers offense in football form.
I mean, you move it much better than if Pickens wasn't here last year.
Right, it'll be improved, but Pickens showed last year when he gets double-teamed, which he would get all the focus if CeeDee was out. When he gets double-teamed, he is a below-average NFL receiver. And so that would be my concern there. Number 4, Deron Bland. He says that the questions at cornerback make Bland even more valuable than usual. He can play inside or outside at a high level. With Jordan Lewis leaving in free agency, the expectation is that Bland will play more on the inside. Something that I don't think he loves. He's not refusing to do it, but I mean, he's talked about he'd prefer to be outside also because outside corner money is different money, and this is a contract year for him. Number 3, Tyler Guyton. He says that last year's first round pick didn't have a great rookie season. He has appeared to be putting in the work to have a much better year too. The Cowboys badly need that to happen. Tyler Smith protected Prescott's blind side for most of his career, or Tyron Smith protected for most of his career. The move from right tackle and college to left tackle in the NFL is not an easy one. And then obviously the top 2, really easy. Number 2, Micah Parsons. And then number 1 is Dak Prescott. And I look at this and I say, all right, if you're telling me that Dak is the number 1 most important player, which he is, and Micah is probably number 2, because we saw the defense just looked wildly different when he was in there versus when he wasn't last year. If you look at that, then to me it says, all right, then 3 through 10 probably need to be everybody supporting Dak or everything that's around Dak. Is that if Dak's number 1, then I would then want 3 through 10 to be whatever's most important to having a successful year. And so that would be Lamb. I'd probably throw Ferguson in this list of top 10 most important, because I think the offense is just different when he's playing well versus when he's not.
I could have Bland at 3. I don't really look at it as everything supporting Dak. I look at it as, how good is my defense going to be? What would the secondary be without Deron Bland? With these Diggs questions, that's why I would have Bland that high and maybe even a little bit higher.
I think in terms
higher
of
than Guyton.
Pressure on a guy.
Bland higher than Guyton.
I mean, if you lose Bland right now, you can't cover anybody.
Yeah.
That's fair. No, that's fair.
More Stephon Gilmore rumors yesterday. It's like, I see Stephon Gilmore attached to the Cowboys one more time.
Mm-hmm. Man, the man tried to walk into the star to just be seen. Like, hey, guys, I'm still here.
And they still said, like, turn around.
No, they're like, sir, get out of the building.
He'll be hanging out at our restaurant at the bar again.
Lure
in Oxnard, just hoping that we take him back home with us.
You guys drop me off the team hotel?
Yeah.
You guys got a rollout there?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Now, the name on here that I think is missing that I would personally... I don't think... The more I thought about it, the more I didn't think his names were... Some of them shocked me at first, like Mazi. Then it's like, Mazi is the only one at that position. He does need to... Right now, you are kind of left out to dry if he's not better. Kenneth Murray, similarly representing all the linebackers. To me, if there's so many questions in the secondary... And Eberflus is coming in here and changing the defense. and he's changing the style of the safety play to interchangeable. They need him to kind of do everything. Malik Hooker's got to be good. Malik Hooker's got to be good to protect the corners, the ones that you're not so sure about. And Malik Hooker's got to be good in terms of just covering over what I think are going to be some deficiencies from Donovan Wilson in the adjustment. Some to the extent that if they get to camp, they go, Marquise Bell fits this better, or Wanya Thomas fits this better, or man, we got Israel Mukwamu who can do some flexible things for us, then I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little bit of a competition there.
B-Lo,
D-Belt,
with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto, every day at this time on your official home, in case you did not know, of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers, and the 9 a.m. ticket giveaway, NBA Youngboy tickets to hook you up with, and I'm going to win you some money with the Dallas Mavericks after this. Plus, Brett Boone at 920 on 105.3 The Fan.